save us, basically. Yeah. So on the line, we have Socialist Alliance member Peter Boyle, and he's going to be doing an interview. He's recently come back from Germany, I believe. Is that correct, Jacob?
Brussels.
Brussels.
Yes.
Okay,
so,
sorry about that.
We have Peter Boyle, who's actually, also, in addition to being a member of Socialist Alliance, has also been a long-time Kurdish solidarity activist, and it was in that capacity that he was invited to a conference, an international conference titled The European Union, Turkey, the Middle East and the Kurds, and which was also held in the European Parliament in Brussels. So, yeah, good morning, Peter.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, so what can you tell us a bit about your trip, especially this conference that you were kind of invited to, and I guess what it sort of reflect in terms of the kind of greater movement for solidarity with the Kurdish community?
I suppose the overall impact is that between the conference and the long march for the freedom of Kurdish leader Abdullah Öcalan, which I participated in after the conference, the two things together demonstrated very clearly to me the really broad support that has developed, particularly in Europe, for the Rojava revolution and for the Kurdish struggle more generally, and also for the kind of ideas, the kind of, like, if you like, new feminist, democratic confederalist thinking that this revolution is putting forward. So the conference, which was at the European Parliament, was co-sponsored by pretty much all the green and left and even some of the social democratic parties that are present in the European Parliament, and they participated in a big way. It's the 16th conference of that character held in Parliament, and they've had one every year for the last 16 years. But in recent years, more and more of the left and green parties have come behind it. So it indicated a very strong solidarity at that level, at the parliamentary politics level. But the long march, which was actually three long marches that converged in the city of Strasbourg in France, which is the home of another European institution, the European Council, which actually predates the European Union. And actually, it was formed after the Second World War, and it includes Turkey, unlike the European Union, where Turkey is still a candidate for membership. Now, that march primarily united the Kurdish community from Europe with a bunch of internationalists who were in a contingent that I was part of, and 120 international supporters from all around the world, but primarily from Europe, and I would say of the Europeans in that march, the great majority were from Catalonia or other parts of the Spanish state, and they were overwhelmingly young libertarian socialists, libertarian left activists, very, very young activists. And that's another profound effect, apart from the sort of, if you like, more kind of mainstream political support. This has clearly affected a generation of radical revolutionary activists, youth activists in Europe. Many of them actually have spent time working in some capacity, or some even fighting in Rojava, and they've come back and they've influenced their peers in a most profound way. I must say, it was a first for me to spend 5 days basically marching an amazing group of anarchists and libertarian socialists activists. You know, for 5 days, they're going to be camping with them. And the thing which just struck me is that, you know, it's nothing like a real revolution to reset people's ideas. I mean, I've never seen people, you know, of that political background in our Australian context, who were so disciplined, organized, and, serious and committed into a struggle. Well, if you like, you could say they've become party activists. The Kurdish Party, of course, being the party that their primary party affiliation now is to the Kurdistan Workers' Party, which is is still listed banned in under the European Union, though it has been exonerated by a court recently in Belgium.
And I guess what were sort of the developments, I guess, in terms of that, because I know there was a recent article in Green Left about this, about the status of the PKK as a terrorist organisation.
Yeah, well, we got to know quite a bit about this court case, the Belgian court case, at the conference in the European Parliament, because it was addressed by the lawyer that led the case. And he said, so now there's a clear contradiction. On one hand, the Belgium highest court in Belgium has declared that the PKK is not a terrorist organization, that it is a non-state political actor in the conflict in and around Turkey. On the other hand, straight after the court made that decision, the Belgian government announced that it was bound by the European Union's listing of the PKK as a terrorist organization. So you have the highest point of the judiciary making a very clear and articulated case for why the PKK should not be on the terrorist list. On the other hand, the government saying, well, we're bound by the EU, which I think is a reminder of the sort of some of the negative effect that the EU has on a lot of politics and economics in Europe. And it was explained to us that at the heart of this is a really ugly, dirty deal that's in place in Europe, and particularly with the European Union, and particularly with the German government and Turkey. And basically, European Union and Germany in particular driving it, is prepared to ignore all the human rights abuses, all the atrocities committed by the Turkish state in return for Turkey doing its best to prevent more refugees coming from the Middle East to Europe. So it's to feed the sort of anti-refugee, racist, xenophobic sentiment in Europe. They are prepared not only to allow, you know, the continuing atrocities that Turkey commits against the Kurdish people and other people in the region, but even its support for IS fighters who have rehabilitated and turned into militias in support of Turkey's objectives in the Middle East. And on top of that, they pay them billions and billions in euros, supposedly to help them look after refugees. So the guts of it is a sort of imperialist, racist deal that Europe has in place with Turkey.
And what, in terms of, this is all pretty interesting, what is sort of the, what is the kind of left within Europe, especially those, especially for the left parties that have been elected within the European Parliament, are sort of what is the type of kind of campaigning, and what are they been kind of putting forward in, as a sort of counter to this kind of clear alliance?
Well, they've put forward, you know, all the right things, I'd say. They've called for this dirty deal to be undone. They've called for solidarity for Rojava, and I think you know, there were numerous calls from MEPs from all these different left and green parties to that effect. They have called for the release of Abdullah Öcalan and support for continuing of the peace talks between the Kurds and the Turkish government. So they've done all these right things, but of course they don't really control the parliament in Europe, you know, nor do any of these less really control the parliament or the government in any of the European countries. So yeah, it's at this stage, of course, it's solidarity of that nature. Now, quite a few of these left MPs have visited Rojava which provides a certain kind of diplomatic and moral support. But they've also taken, you know, suitcases full of medical equipment. And I spoke to Soren Sundergaard, who's not an MEP, not a European parliamentarian, but an MP in Denmark for the Red Green Alliance, and he had just been on a visit in December and took two suitcases full into Rojava. So, and he was able to, you know, explain his impressions of what's going on there. In addition to that, many of the progressive MPs are participating in regular visits to Turkey, either, you know, there's an upcoming conference of the HDP, or People's Democratic Party, in Turkey, which is, you know, a significant, large, actually, I think it's the main, maybe the biggest opposition party in Turkey, or second biggest, and they'll be having a congress over this weekend, and many of them will go as delegations that will help in that way. Another group of progressive MPs just came back. Every year they go across as a delegation called the İmralı delegation, and they go to Turkey. They formally approach the Turkish government saying, we would like to meet Abdullah Öcalan, and the Turkish government ignores them. But they just do it year after year after year. And I met one former British MEP, because British is Brexited, by the name of Julie Dawes, I think. And she said, yep, same thing happened this year. Just came back, went over to Turkey. They approached the Turkish government, Turkish government ignored them, came back. So they do that sort of thing. So there's an immense solidarity effect there. Now, one of the things that I guess I did not have a clear impression of is the scale of organization of the Kurdish diaspora, particularly in Europe. It is absolutely phenomenal. As one person said, well, in a bus to when we were having a discussion, he says, well, you know, a revolution can't live without cater, and my goodness, have they got a cater operation. It sustains not only all this diplomatic work, both at a parliamentary level, but also at the level of working with grassroots anti-capitalist youth. At the same time, they sustain 5 TV channels with satellite licenses, a huge studio running 24 hours, 7 days a week. They produce daily newspaper called Politica and distribute it in Europe, as well as obviously, you know, helping and participating in the actual struggle that's going on back in Rojava and in Turkey and in the Kurdistan, bits of Kurdistan that are in Iraq and Iran. So it's a massive, massive movement. And since so many Kurds have been driven abroad, you can really feel it, I think, in Europe. You can see it.
All right, so we'll just go, I guess we'll finish up now. We're running a bit out of time, Peter. Do you have any kind of like final comments to kind of sum up kind of things?
Well, it made me feel like Australia ought to catch up, you know, and particularly the Australian radical left needs to step up to it. You know, I actually, one of my objectives is to try and see if it's possible that if there's going to be another march next year, that we get some young activists, some young left-wing radical activists from Australia to go along, because, you know, this should be a much bigger thing here. I mean, as explained to me by some of these Catalan revolutionaries, youth, they say, well, you know, we are so depressed about politics in general. You see fascism on the rise in Europe. We see so many of our traditional parties of the left betraying us when they come into government. But here we see a revolution which has the same radical values, same feminist, same ecological and grassroots democracy values that we have. And that's why we are out here marching, and that's why we've got organized in support of this revolution. And finally, just want to say that our contingent of 120 internationalists painted a banner to carry on the march, and it said, "We are your mountains," which is a reference, of course, to the sort of rather grim Kurdish saying, our only friends are the mountains.